I have been so stirred in my spirit concerning prayer. And I think about how sometimes, you know, this is not made available in a lot of churches. You've got a program to go by. But I know even as Rocky sometimes will, in the course of the choir singing, he'll begin to speak or he'll begin to pray right in the midst of it. Sister Tarina, Brother Davy, different ones step out and just begin to minister in word and in prayer or praise, worship at times. As I said, even, I don't know if it's last week before, I said the churches have lost their art of praying. And nothing happens in the spirit world. Nothing happens without prayer. But prayer can change the course of nations. And you've seen that in the Word of God. Prayer, we have a powerful tool to use against the powers of hell. And yet there's been times, I know a time that the Lord impressed me to have people to, instead of talking and fellowshipping before church, even though you may some, but let the last thing you do before the beginning of service, pray in this altar and get the mind of Christ for the service. Let the music begin before service because there's an anointing in music that drives back the powers of the enemy. It happened for a few services. And it was over. But what happened during those few services that we did it? It changed the course of the services. We've also had these prayer agreement papers passed out, and I dare say there's 10 people in this congregation that is doing it. It's awful quiet, but it's the truth anyhow. But there's something about prayer. Hey, we are in covenant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The more that you pray and the more that you fellowship with Him and the closer you become with Him, the more intimate you are with Him, the more you know what to do in your life. Even in your relationship, one with another, husband and wife, I've heard different ones say this, and I know it happens to me and Frank a lot. Before I say what I'm going to say to him, he already knows it. A lot of times before we go anyplace, he'll write down what I'm going to say. And then when I say it, he'll say, "Look what I just wrote." And I've heard others in the church speaking of the same thing. I know what they're thinking. We're so close, I know what each other's thinking. Well, did you know you're in such a covenant relationship with the Lord? Husband and wife, you have become one. And that's the reason that you can be so united that you can experience these things. But we're in covenant relationship with the Lord until we have become one with Him. If you abide in the Word and the Word abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Is that what the Bible says? Before I even begin to speak on some of the things that I am, how many believe in suddenly God can? I pray that prayer a lot. And I remind, we remind God of his word. I don't know if you do that or not, but I do. I said, God, I just want to remind you. This is not what I am saying. This is what your word says. Suddenly, Saul had an encounter with Jesus suddenly, until his total life was changed in a moment. When I was born again, I'll never forget that night. Suddenly, all things passed away, and all things become new. I read in the word where the demon possessed men at the tomb. They were so full of demon spirits that his name was Legion, because there were so many. But Jesus happened by, and it said they were clothed and in their right mind. It didn't take weeks, it didn't take days, it didn't take months. Immediately, they were clothed and in their right mind. Do you believe in what you are praying? Do you? There's different types of prayer, and I do this a lot. I just, a lot of times, just pray a prayer of thanksgiving. Just loving him and just praising him, just in worship and prayer. And just totally praise. And I do that a lot. Always letting him know I know who he is. Regardless how difficult things may look at the time. I remind him of what the word says. Jesus, I read in your word, all power. Somebody say that. All power has been given to you that is in heaven and that is in earth. Everything being subject unto the power of God. Man, we don't realize how powerful we are. We give in, we stop right at the breakthrough. I read in the word where they were in travail, but when it come to childbirth, they didn't have the power to bring forth. We stop just before we get the greatest breakthrough. You know what? That's because that's where the enemy wants to keep you. Are you going to let him? Not all prayer is the same. There's prayer of supplication, as I said a while ago. There's a prayer of just thanksgiving and praise. But you know what? We've got the power of prayer to outwit the powers of the enemy. We set a target. We set a mark. Don't just stand there. I got a book that says, don't just stand there. Pray something. Even though you may not can be in the place or be able to say the words you want to say to a person, You can always send a prayer right to the very heart of the situation and destroy the works of the enemy. The anointing will not only break, but it will destroy the yoke of the enemy. There's different types of praying, but today I want to talk to you about the prayer of agony or travail. And this is what I've been in for the past couple of days. It's not something you can make yourself do. It's something that happens in the spirit. In Micah, the 4th chapter, the 10th verse, it says, "Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in birth pains. For now you go forth from the city. You shall dwell in the field, and to Babylon you shall go. There you shall be delivered. There the Lord will redeem you from the hand of your enemies." And we find in the Word of God, and everybody is familiar with this story, a story of Hannah. Of Hannah in agony in prayer. When the story begins, Israel was in moral decay as a nation. The priesthood had fallen into total disarray. But still, as required by law, a man named Elkanah took his entire family to Shiloh to offer sacrifices and worship the Lord. And as you know the story, Hannah was the wife that Elkanah had two wives, but Hannah was the one that he so loved. And Hannah was barren. And it caused her to grieve or be in bitterness of soul. In 1 Samuel 1:10. In bitterness of soul, it caused her to be in. As she was barren, she knew that this was not the destiny that she was created to fulfill. And because she wasn't there, there was grief and affliction of spirit, the bitterness of her soul. But Hannah, as she came, she began to weep in anguish and made this vow in verse 11, 1 Samuel 1. Verse 11. "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then will I give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head." Hannah agonized before the Lord to give her a child. She was in such great agony that she didn't pay no mind to people that were round about her. She was in travail. She was in such travail that Eli the priest thought her to be drunken. He thought she was drunk, and he began to rebuke her. But Hannah opened her heart and expressed to Eli, who in turn answered her and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him." You know the story. Hannah conceived and gave birth to the prophet Samuel. But Hannah was a woman of great faith and destiny whose agonizing provides a pattern for us to follow. Hannah had her mind made up. But as Hannah began to grieve in the spirit, and she began to travail. Before something happened in the natural, it happened in the spirit. She began to agonize with the Lord until something broke in her spirit. She refused to stay where she was in the barren condition that she was in. She refused it. And as she began to travail, let me tell you, and you've heard me say this many times, and I know it's happened to me, and I've shared it with you that Brother Hall spoke it. He said, the quickest answers I get to prayer is when I begin to pray out of the depths of my soul. And this is what travailing in the spirit is. It's not lip service. It's not even something you can control. And sometimes in travailing, you will begin to pray, and your prayer might